day Gaza truce is not extended, then conditions in the region will change and the war will expand. And the Yemeni armed forces fire a barrage of cruise missiles at Israeli military targets and it shows support for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi says Israel has failed to achieve any of the goals that it pursued in its war on Gaza.
Killing women and children is not victory. Why did the Israeli regime enter Gaza? It said it wanted to capture Gaza, but it failed. It said its goal was to eliminate Hamas, but it couldn't do that. It said it wanted to do away with the resistance, but it failed. The regime has so far had no achievement.
Raisi was speaking in an interview with five Arab television channels. He said regime's atrocities only increase awareness of people throughout the world about Palestinians' plight. The Iranian president added people of the world now hate the regime and its backers more than ever. Raisi said Operation Al-Aqsa flood dealt a heavy blow to the Zionist regime. He added the Israeli regime collapsed after October 7th. That's when the operation was launched, but then the U.S. helped revive it.
After October 7, it can be said that the regime really collapsed. It was the Americans who came and helped it survive. The reason why Americans and other Western officials rushed to the occupied territories was that they were seriously worried. Some of them told officials in the region that they felt the regime collapsed all of a sudden.
Basically said the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal and intend to go ahead with the aggression against Gaza. The Iranian president stressed all countries that support Israel are complicit in its crimes against Palestinians. He also called on Muslim states to sever relations with the occupying entity. Since the beginning of the Israeli onslaught against Palestinians on October 7th, the regime sought to destroy the resistance groups there. However, Palestinian resistance turned the Gaza Strip into a quagmire for Israeli troops, forcing the regime to redefine its objectives.
Israeli officials repeatedly stated the destruction of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas as their main objective by targeting the group's military infrastructure. However, since day one, Hamas has been a thorn in the eye of the occupation regime as resistance fighters continued their retaliatory attacks on Israeli targets. Therefore, the regime has failed to achieve its main goals.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and Israel have reached an agreement on a temporary ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas says as part of the deal, it will release some of the captives it has in exchange for Palestinians held in the regime's prisons. Let's take a look at some of the points agreed upon in the truce mediated by Qatar and Egypt.
The agreement will last for 4 days after it takes effect. Israel will suspend its military actions in Gaza. During the truce, the Israeli regime is committed not to abduct anyone all across the besieged territory. Palestinians will be free to move from northern to southern Gaza via Salah ad-Din Road. Also, according to the deal, air traffic will completely stop during the 4-day ceasefire in the southern Gaza Strip. In the north, however, air traffic will stop daily for 6 hours from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hamas says it will release 50 Israeli captives in exchange for the freedom of 150 Palestinian women and children held in Israeli jails. Last but not least, hundreds of trucks of humanitarian aid, including fuel and medicine, will be given access to all areas of the Gaza Strip.
Joining us now from New York is Sarah Flanders from the International Action Center. For more on the story, hello Ms. Flanders, hope you are safe and doing well out there in New York. Your thoughts on after 47 day, going on 48th day now, we're finally getting to a point where we're going to see 4 days of relief for Palestinians. Do you have any optimism that it may somehow extend into a more sustainable ceasefire, or you don't share that optimism?
Well, first of all, this is a victory for the Palestinian resistance. The Zionists said they would never negotiate. They would never release any of their thousands, tens of thousands political prisoners that they hold, Palestinian prisoners under terrible conditions. And now it's a 4-day pause, but they have been forced front of the whole world to negotiate with the resistance movement. They said they would never recognize Hamas, would never talk with them, would never negotiate. They've been forced to back down. So that's an important gain in this struggle. It does show that it was through resistance that this pause came. And certainly the Palestinian people have shown that they, through ambushes, through all kinds of actions, were able to hold their own at terrible cost of, you see the rubble. But it is the first step, and it's Israel who's been forced to, the Zionist state itself forced to negotiate. So we want to recognize that and salute that. I think that's the first step in what comes next. And we can certainly hope that it will be more than a four-day pause. But even a ceasefire at this time, Israel's plans continue to be the extermination of Palestine, the continued land expropriation, and therefore support the continued resistance is so important.
Right, and over the last 47 and almost 48 days now, what has the regime achieved up until this so-called four-day truce in the besieged Gaza Strip, Ms. Flanders?
What they have achieved is really a genocide, an effort at a genocide, massive destruction, bombing, and but the whole world watched it, of schools, of hospitals, of refugee centers, again and again in the most brutal way. This can't be hidden, and so they have really achieved their own demise, the complete fragmenting of any support for the Zionist state. Now, that's a big accomplishment they've achieved, and they've certainly achieved the hatred of the people of the world, who now stand no longer silent, but actually against Zionism, against the state of Israel. So that's quite an accomplishment.
Right. And Sarah, do you see throughout these next 4 days, or 4 days starting Thursday, I should correct myself, but do you see Western leaders, do you see Paris, London, and Washington imploring the regime behind closed doors to try to find a sustainable path to a permanent ceasefire? Or do you see them basically supporting Israel picking up where it left off in 4 days after Thursday?
Well, certainly the U.S. and its, you know, EU allies, yeah, they want to continue to support Israel. They'll use all kinds of doublespeak, but they aren't backing down. This is their strategic ally. But what has been accomplished is that the whole world, and certainly the Palestinian people, see that Israel is not invincible. It's not all-powerful. That it really can be challenged militarily, that its iron shield is not so powerful, that literally, you know, young people with little motorized hang gliders could come over just all the miles of concrete and electronic fences and razor barbed wire and all of that. That's a big accomplishment. They've broken the invincibility image that Israel has. They've also broken the confidence of so many of the Israelis that they had a stable life ahead of them. So many of them, really hundreds of thousands of Israelis with dual citizenship, are actively leaving in numbers, in many thousands, clogging the airports. So this is really a complete challenge to the state of Israel itself. And it's a long battle, but that's a real accomplishment.
Good point, and thank you for joining us. Time has gotten the better of us. Ms. Sarah Flanders, stay safe out of New York from the International Action Center.
Thank you.
You bet. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister has warned that if the four-day truce on Gaza is not extended, then conditions in the region will change and the war will expand. Speaking to Lebanese Al-Mayadeen TV channel, Hossein Amir Abdullahian said if Israeli aggression against Gaza persists, opening of new fronts across the region will be inevitable. He repeated Iran's call on the international community to mount pressure on Israel to halt its attacks against Gaza. The Iranian top diplomat said that Israel and the U.S. are unable to eliminate Hamas in Gaza and that the movement will remain in Palestine. He also stressed the need for international court to bring to justice those who have committed war crimes in Gaza. Amir Abdullahian is on an official visit to Lebanon. He's met with senior officials from Lebanese and Palestinian resistance groups, including the Secretary General of the Islamic Jihad movement, Ziad al-Nakhala. He told Nakhala that despite all the atrocities, that Israel failed to subdue the will of the Palestinians. Amir Abdullahian also met with Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati and Parliament Speaker Nabi Berri. Our correspondent in Lebanon has conducted interviews with people on a ceasefire in Gaza. Many believe the truce was reached as Israel has failed to achieve its goals, stressing that the resistance is the only way toward liberation of Palestine.
Well, absolutely. I don't think that the Israelis would have accepted to go into this kind of a truce without being dealt devastating blows by the resistance and by Hamas. Of course, the Israelis found themselves unable to achieve anything on ground, and they saw that this is a good thing for them to do. They are not doing it for the sake of humanity. An Israeli enemy that has purposely targeted the children, the babies, the hospitals, the ambulances, the civilians, if they do all of this, I don't think that a truce or a ceasefire is something that they would consider for their human background. They are doing it for the sake of taking some rest or making some kind of release for the tension and the pressure by the Israelis against them.
This is a battle for existence. On this land, it is either us or them. There cannot be a two-state solution. There are criminals who hold a Zionist ideology that only commits mass killings against all humanity since they consider us as animals. But we are the true people of the land. It has been going on for too long, 75 years of suffering, and now we cannot stop. This battle for existence needs to continue. We can see from their statements in the Israeli Knesset that any truce would be a concession, and that proves that they have achieved nothing. But that's not enough. Despite the truce, all forms of resistance must continue, and we should continue to boycott products that support the enemy.
For what really matters, as the Western humanity fails, over and over again, as the Palestinians are being massacred, Palestinian children are being shredded into pieces, as the world stands idle, as we are dehumanized over and over again, the only response to the Israeli atrocities, to what's going on in Palestine and in the south of Lebanon, is resistance. We will stand by our resistance. There's no ceasefire with Israel. You cannot trust Israel. Israel is a war machine. Whatever political solution they're looking for doesn't exist. Israel is failing military, and that's why it's in agony, and it wants a ceasefire to reset, because its ground-invading forces are failing on the ground.
Yemen's armed forces have launched another missile attack on Israeli targets in support of Palestinians. The Yemeni army said it fired a barrage of cruise missiles at various military targets in the port city of Eilat. In a statement, the country's armed forces affirmed that they'll continue their military operations until the regime stops its aggression against Palestinians in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. Yemeni forces had already warned that all Israeli ships passing through the Red Sea will be considered legitimate targets. A warning came after Yemen's forces seized an Israeli cargo vessel in the Red Sea. Yemen's armed forces have also launched drones and missiles against Israel in support of Palestinians. Relatives of Gaza families under Israeli siege have met Italian and international journalists during a press conference held in Vatican City. Meeting has taken place after an encounter with Pope Francis.
On Wednesday, Palestinians living through the ongoing Israeli brutal assault in the Gaza Strip met with the head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, on the sidelines of a general audience held in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican. The Palestinian delegation was composed of 10 people with relatives in Gaza and in the West Bank and included Muslims and Christians. Pope Francis turned his thoughts to those suffering in the conflict, describing what is happening in the Holy Land as, quote, terrorism, not war. After meeting with the pontiff, family members of Palestinians living in Gaza held a press conference in the Paul VI Hall, during which they spoke out the pain. Since the start of the aggression, Tel Aviv has killed over 14,500 Palestinians, including nearly 6,000 children and almost 4,000 women, injuring at least 33,000 others, according to the Hamas-run health ministry in the Gaza Strip. Over the past weeks, the Italian government, as well as opposition lawmakers, have been voicing support for placing a United Nations peacekeeping force in the Gaza Strip in an alleged attempt to ensure stability in the region. However, many believe this measure alone would only result in an umpteenth temporary patchy solution to the conflict.
If we, at the end, in cooperation with the international community, if the leadership would accept the international protection, it would be part of an overall plan with a clear roadmap, with an end game to end the Israeli aggression and occupation and to reach to our dignity, our statehood, as exactly the world promised us.
International organizations have also called for states that are party to the Geneva Conventions to fulfill their obligations to ensure respect for the Fourth Geneva Convention by acting collectively to prevent further violations, particularly in the Gaza Strip. Max Civili, Rome.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
The Zionist regime's military has delivered on the promises made by the regime's leaders to render Gaza uninhabitable for its 2.3 million Palestinian residents, most of them refugees. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "Civilians are facing the immediate possibility of starvation," the head of the World Food Programme said recently, with the organization adding that Gaza's entire population is in desperate need of food assistance. The meager amounts of food being allowed into Gaza under the Zionist regime's comprehensive siege, a collective punishment amounting to a death sentence imposed for more than 6 weeks, only meets 7% of the people's daily minimum caloric needs, the UN's largest humanitarian agency said. Most of the bakeries in Gaza that weren't targeted and destroyed in the Zionist regime's bombing have shut down after running out of fuel, which the Zionist regime has refused to allow into the territory. No bakeries are currently operating in the northern half of Gaza. The World Food Programme said that whatever food remains in the few shops that are still open are being sold at inflated prices and are of little use without the ability to cook. The Zionist regime said that it had agreed to let in 2 truckloads of fuel a day at the request of Washington to help the United Nations meet basic needs, and it spoke of plans to increase aid more broadly, Reuters reported recently. While COGAT, the Zionist regime's military body that oversees the administration of Gaza, claims there is no limitation on the delivery of humanitarian aid, it will still have full control over everything that goes into Gaza. COGAT says that it will require the UN to provide lists of aid and that the military body will check all deliveries. This means the Zionist regime will maintain a chokehold and exercise veto power over the provision of desperately needed life essentials to people that Ghassan Alion, the head of the COGAT, described on October 10th as human beast. Alion added in a clear declaration of intent to commit a crime against humanity, "You will not have electricity or water. You will just get hell." Philip Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said recently that there is a deliberate attempt to strangle our operation. He added that the tiny shipment of fuel that UNRWA, the largest humanitarian organization operating in Gaza, received recently was delivered with the condition that it is to be used only and exclusively for trucks transferring aid delivered to Gaza via Rafah crossing with Egypt. This condition means that the fuel cannot be used for essential operations, including water treatment and sewage pumping or baking bread. He said that it is outrageous that humanitarian agencies are reduced to begging for fuel and forced after that to decide who will we assist or not assist when you have such a large population in a life-saving situation. Indeed, the highly limited and Israeli-controlled humanitarian aid via Rafah crossing is an American fig leaf for the genocidal campaign underway in Gaza. Meanwhile, Palestinians in Gaza say they have been abandoned and betrayed by international agencies, particularly UNRWA and the ICRC, left without even their humanitarian presence as the Zionist regime raids and destroys hospitals and UNRWA schools and refugee camps in the northern half of Gaza. 3 prominent Palestinian human rights groups say the full force of one of the world's most powerful militaries is being unleashed against a captive civilian population under the voyeuristic gaze of the international community. Dozens of independent UN human rights experts warned recently that the Zionist regime's grave violations against Palestinians point to a genocide in the making. They say this is demonstrated by the Zionist regime's genocidal incitement, overt intent to destroy the Palestinian people under occupation, loud calls for a second Nakba in Gaza and the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory, and the use of powerful weaponry with inherently indiscriminate impacts, resulting in a colossal death toll and destruction of life-sustaining infrastructure. The destruction of life-sustaining infrastructure includes the hospitals in Gaza City and northern Gaza, despite or because of the presence of patients, their family members, health workers, and displaced people sheltering at the facilities. Recently, the Zionist regime forces ordered patients and medics to evacuate Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest health facility, within 1 hour, some at gunpoint, Al Jazeera reported. The Israeli regime army denied giving any evacuation order, but Mohammad Zaqouth, the director general of hospitals in Gaza, told Al Jazeera, "I categorically deny these false allegations from the Israeli army. I'm telling you, we were forced to leave by gunpoint." Omar Zaqouth, the hospital's supervisor, told Al Jazeera that forced evacuations began after the army's deadline passed, adding that the scenes outside were appalling. Zaqouth said, "We were told to leave through Al Wida Road. Dozens of dead bodies are scattered on the road. Many homeless people who cannot walk are left out in the open." Munir Al-Borsh, a doctor at Al-Shifa, told the network that the Israeli regime army warned that all those leaving had to wave a white handkerchief and walk in a single line. They were humiliated by soldiers all along the road. Many of the patients were put on wheelchairs or rolling beds. Family members were forced to carry their wounded children or parents themselves. These are horrible, unprecedented scenes. Al Jazeera Arabic reported that many medical staff defied orders to leave the hospital and vowed to remain there with their parents, who could not be moved, including dozens of premature babies. After besieging it for days and launching heavy attacks on its surroundings, the Zionist regime raided Al-Shifa Hospital recently. Israel has so far failed to yield evidence that the hospital was used as a command center by Hamas, as the Zionist regime has claimed for years, eliciting skepticism even among its most loyal stenographers at the BBC. Dozens of patients, including premature babies, have died at Al-Shifa since November 11th due to the lack of electricity. Recently, the Zionist regime raided a children's hospital also in Gaza City. In a propaganda video recorded in the basement of the facility, the Israeli regime's military chief spokesperson claims a calendar lists the names of terrorists who guarded over hostages. In reality, it named the days of the week. That video, like the one recorded at Al-Shifa, was roundly mocked on social media. The Zionist regime has not provided any resembling compelling proof that hospitals in Gaza's north were used as terror infrastructure, but it rendered the hospitals inoperable in the process.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder now on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. he whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, speaking of your own excellence. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And as for the favor of your Lord, do announce it." Wait a minute. We thought self-praise was bad and hence condemned in Islam. So what is going on here? The verse of the Holy Quran says, "And as for the favor of your Lord, do announce it." Before we answer this question, let's turn towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and see how they have discouraged us from self-praise. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, who is the fifth divinely appointed Imam, has said, "Nobody among you should boast about excessiveness in praying, fasting, almsgiving, and doing other religious duties, for Allah knows him best who guards against evil." When Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about it, he answered, "It is to say, I have prayed, fasted, etc., Nawafil prayers, for instance." Okay, we have to be very careful and not to needlessly express our good deeds, our good actions to others. Because if you're doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah already knows about it. He knows your intentions. There's no point of bringing it up in front of others. Similarly, if you are interested in angels to know so they can record it in your good deeds, well, trust me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that duty and they do not flinch. They are not negligent. They are going to record that good deed of yours in your scroll of deeds. So nothing to worry about. There is no point of speaking of your own excellence, especially in public, where there is no need for it. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are talking about speaking of your own excellence. And before the break, we said that if there's no need, you don't need to bring up, anything about your own qualities, your own skill set, your own excellence, and so on and so forth. Now, the question is, this self-praising, which generally speaking is condemned in Islam, is self-praise always bad? Well, is talking about our own excellence always bad? Is talking about our strengths always bad? Or is it allowed in some circumstances? You may, encounter this question. Let's turn towards Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who was asked, is it permitted for the man to speak of his excellence? He answered, yes, when it is necessary. Do you not remember when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam said to the Pharaoh, place me in authority over the treasures of the land. Surely I am a good keeper, knowing well. So in this, according to the verse of the Holy Quran, Prophet Yusuf, he is in a way self-praising himself, right? Apparently. I am a good keeper, he said. Well, this is where it was required to say that. It was necessary. And this is exactly the point we're trying to make. Unless necessary, unless it's required, do not talk about your excellences. Similarly, the Imam continues in response to this question. He says, and what Prophet Hud said to the people, I am a faithful advisor to you. Again, it seems like he's praising himself, right? Which we know is condemned in Islam. Well, guess what? This is a place where the Prophet had to express this quality of his for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if you have to bring up your qualities, you do it for the right reason and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for his deen.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Gaza Reconstruction Plan.
After three wars, you cannot forget Gaza. You cannot forget the underlying political issues in Gaza. And you need the government of national consensus to be empowered in Gaza. Otherwise, you are investing again maybe into a political black hole. You need a more stable ceasefire. That's why I've been calling for a reconstruction hutna.
More than a year after the war was waged by the Israeli regime on the Gaza Strip, and approximately a year after the Cairo Donors Conference was held for rebuilding Gaza, the reconstruction project is still teetering between the cruelty of the siege and the procrastination of the Israeli regime that destroyed tens of thousands of housing units and displaced more than 100,000 people, leaving displacement and housing crisis in its wake.
Despite the destruction, there are signs of hope. The international community has mobilized $5.4 billion in aid for Gaza reconstruction. In addition to this, we are asking the authorities of Israel to open all these crossings and ease restrictions so that there can be free movement in and out of this Gaza.
I'm not defending the donors or the international community, but in Cairo conference, which I was there actually, You know, they talked about, they put some conditions to rebuild Gaza. They need political stability. And they talk about, you know, they need guarantees that what they will be building in Gaza again, not being destroyed again, because you have, you know, hundreds of shelters, the same people, that their shelters had been destroyed in 2008, and we rebuild them, and 2012, and we rebuild them, and the same shelters in 2014 also had been destroyed.
The international community requested assurances from the Israeli regime not to target the Strip after being reconstructed. To many, the displaced people have been living under unacceptable conditions. First, they dwelt in UNRWA schools. Then, they were evacuated with the beginning of the academic year. Some of them had to rent houses they were unable to afford. So most of them had no option but to live in tent shelters as a temporary solution. Those who could took shelter in wooden houses, which were less dangerous and more comfortable than the tin caravans. Officials and experts believed that the Gaza reconstruction does not take a long time. However, the obstacles imposed by the Israeli regime prevented what was planned for the reconstruction and for the citizens who are still waiting to return to their homes as soon as possible. After negotiations between the Israeli regime and the United Nations, the regime managed to convince the international community to pass a resolution about the siege of Gaza through a Gaza reconstruction plan when the so-called Sari plan was agreed upon by the United Nations and the Israelis. Strangely enough, the United Nations announced months after the agreement on the Gaza plan that the Strip needed 100 years to be reconstructed.
We made an agreement among UN, Palestine, and Israel. I had the very serious discussions on this issue with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, that all the deliveries for reconstruction should be delivered timely, without any bureaucratic hurdles, and effectively. The United Nations system will fully engage in this. Mr. Robert Seri will continue to very closely check and discuss, consult with the authorities concerned.
Are we going to reconstruct Gaza for the third time, for it to see be destroyed again? That's why I also have been so much involved, in particular also in my last months with Gaza. We have brokered the agreement, which is now even carrying my name, to bring the construction materials in. That's not enough. It's going too slow. And indeed, if we don't change the dynamics in Gaza, then I'm worried, again, pessimistic, that what we have seen happening every time and again, that Gaza explodes, that it could happen again.
Although owners of the ruined houses have no problem with the Sari plan, nothing has been done so far, because first of all, the rubble has to be cleared away. Statistics show the war has left nearly 2.2 million tons of rubble. It's impossible to get rid of this mind-boggling amount, but with machineries old and out of order. Some owners of these totally destroyed houses have not given up removing the rubble, hoping they will rebuild them anew. Meanwhile, those whose houses were partially destroyed managed to repair them, although the cash they received did not help them much. All all agree that the slowdown in the reconstruction is due to the slow process of transferring funds pledged by the donor countries at the Cairo conference, where UNRWA received only $270 million, while the required budget is much more.
We asked for $724 million in Cairo conference. We got $270 million only. Part of it went for the rental subsidies for those whose shelters had been completely destroyed or severely damaged. The other part, you know, went for tens of thousands of families to repair, you know, their shelters with minor repair. And the other part, it is very tiny, very small part. We are talking about hundreds only. It will go for the totally damaged shelters through the Ministry of Housing and Public Affairs.
The first phase of rebuilding entirely destroyed houses began with some amount of the money pledged by some states at the Cairo conference. However, that was hardly enough for a few hundreds whose houses had been totally destroyed. Thousands of families are still displaced and homeless.
We are afraid that, you know, that people, the trust of people in UNRWA and other organizations is not like, you know, before, because the people after Cairo conference, the expectation were very high, you know, among the people, and we expect that they will see, you know, their homes being built again.
Even if the reconstruction of what had been destroyed by the Israeli regime was completed, the housing crisis could still remain. With the growing population crammed on a small geographical spot called the Gaza Strip, there are tens of thousands of houses in need of housing, while the infrastructure is devastated, vulnerable, and in dire need of rehabilitation.
It never happened in such tiny place that you have 2 million of people and nearly 300 square kilometers and no export, no life, no water, you know, no jobs. Nearly 60% of the young people from age 20 to 29, they are unemployed. The poverty line, that, you know, 70% of the population under the poverty line, working under the siege and under the blockade will lead to nothing, actually. What we are doing here is to keep people surviving. We are not talking about quality of life in Gaza. Just we are talking about life in a life. If you look deeply in what is going on in Gaza, you will find out big slogan that there is no tomorrow in Gaza.
Perhaps that thing so powerfully symbolizes this sum of suffering and one of the most important issues, the lifting siege and easing movement and restriction, that is a basic human rights of Palestinian people. There can be no peace in the Middle East, no security for Israel, while the crisis in Gaza festers. The build-destroy cycle must be broken.
The Gaza Strip does not need any reconstruction. The blockade imposed by Israel has to be lifted. The regime also has to promise that it will not wage yet another war to bring about more displacement and destruction. Thank you.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
World people will continue to hold rallies as long as the Israeli regime onslaught and war crimes in Gaza continue. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International Road, people across the globe continue to hold rallies for Palestine. They have a simple demand, ceasefire now. While this demand is falling on deaf ears of rulers in Western capitals, where the regimes are all partners in Israeli regime war crimes, the groundswell of support among the masses is overwhelming. In Canada, for instance, rallies have been held every weekend, sometimes in even two or three different locations in the same city. Toronto, Canada's largest city, has seen multiple rallies the same day in different parts of the city with participation of thousands of people. On Saturday, November 18th, there was another massive rally outside the U.S. consulate in Toronto. Thousands participated. The rally was also addressed by a representative of the First Nations whose lands the European colonialists have occupied for more than two centuries. Like the First Nations, the Palestinians are being subjected to genocide by European colonial settlers. On Sunday, November 19th, another rally was held in Toronto on the occasion of the World Children's Day, organized by the Canadian Health Workers Alliance for the Children of Gaza. It was addressed by Mariam Masood Lam, a prominent youth ambassador for children, as well as Dr. Ezzedine Abu Leish. Children also spoke at the rally to express solidarity with the Children of Gaza and to remember those that have been killed. Dr. Abu Leish lost three daughters and a niece in 2009 when an Israeli regime tank fired directly into their apartment in Gaza. In addition to the standard slogans on placards like Ceasefire Now and From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free, people are producing more creative slogans now. One placard at the November 18th rally in Toronto caught the attention of photographer who captured it on camera. It read, "We are new Muslim reverts, Netanyahu. You reduced our numbers in Gaza, but we are multiplied by Allah." The placard was a reference to the surge in interest among non-Muslims in Islam. There has been a growing demand among non-Muslims to acquire a copy of the Noble Quran. They want to know what provides strength to people undergoing so much suffering, yet they remain steadfast. The number of people reverting to Islam in North America and Europe has increased rapidly. Allah works in his own mysterious ways. Despite overwhelming odds, the Palestinians' steadfast resistance in Gaza has awakened the conscience of people worldwide. This is reflected in the rallies that are held regularly throughout the world. On November 18th, at least 4,000 people took part in a pro-Palestinian demonstration in Geneva. They marched to the United Nations European headquarters, where a minute of silence was observed in memory of those killed in Gaza. Similar rallies were held in Milan, Italy, Lisbon, Portugal, and Barcelona, Spain, on November 18th. Spain's Minister for Social Rights, Ayon Belarra, condemned the silence of Western leaders and called for sanctions against the Zionist regime. She pointed to the double standard, saying while human rights abuses in other countries have been decried, there is a deafening silence on the victims of Israeli regime's bombardment. Three Palestinian human rights organizations have lodged a formal case at the International Criminal Court, ICC, to charge Israeli regime political and military leaders for war crimes and genocide. In the U.S., the Center for Constitutional Rights, CCR, as well as several Palestinian Americans have lodged a court case charging President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin with aiding and abetting Israeli regime war crimes. In Canada, too, legal notice has been served on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Foreign Minister Melanie Joly, and Justice Minister Arif Virani for aiding and abetting Israeli regime war crimes. People will continue to hold rallies as long as the Zionist regime's onslaught and war crimes in Gaza continue. According to Press TV, since the onset of the Al-Aqsa storm operation more than a month ago, the U.S. has seen an unprecedented level of support and solidarity for the Palestinian people and resistance. Hundreds of thousands of people have taken to the streets in different U.S. cities, not only by condemning the Zionist regime for its horrific war crimes in the besieged Gaza Strip and the ongoing occupation, but for the U.S. government's direct role in supporting such crimes. A particular note has to be made regarding the role of young people, specifically university student groups and coalitions, who have organized marches, rallies, speakouts, walkouts, and more. Organizations such as the Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, Muslim Students Association, MSA, Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, and others have not only devoted much of their time and energy championing the Palestinian cause on campuses, but have done so with tremendous bravery. These demonstrators have been braving great risks and threats from pro-Israel lobbies.
Black and white.
Los hechos, los porfiados.
Definite and undeniable events are self-explanatory, and all by itself neutralize all the Zionist propaganda and its worthless media that support the West. This propaganda usually suggests that an offensive or a punitive operation is underway against an organization of the Palestinian nation, Hamas, that is. They do not show us the reality of the genocide and destruction